This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
And away we go, welcome to show number 2887. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Woman Fox, and my cock. In the men's room. On tap today, here come the bad jokes, bitches. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, men's room shot of the day, fumble listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Click, clack.
And a drink of the drop.
All right, here we go. Florida, where 81-year-old woman is busted for drinking boxed wine on her porch with her boobs out. We stay in Florida, where a 39-year-old man and his 78-year-old girlfriend get into a fight and scream and shout. 16-year-old wants a job with Apple, so he hacks into the systems multiple times. An Iraqi ex-fighter who entered U.S. as a refugee extradited for murderous crimes. And a man saves another man's life thanks to a cold cures light. That's all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, last week we told you about this briefly. A guy in Nebraska flipped a car, fled the scene. When the cops came to arrest him, he took a hostage, which seems ridiculous. But unfortunately for him, the cops completely unmoved. But mostly because the hostage he took was a random frog that he found on the ground when the police got there. The police show up, he sees a frog, picks it up, says, "You do anything to me, I hurt the frog." Oddly enough, he got tased, the frog, absolutely fine. Meanwhile, in Alabama, a 74-year-old woman, she was jumped in the parking lot of a Piggly Wiggly. She's trying to get back to her car. A guy accosts her. Yes, Piggly Wiggly. Now, eventually, she was rescued by some good Samaritans, but not before she grabbed her attacker by the testicles. And as she says, quote, "I grabbed him good." And then there's Cody Coots. Now, Cody, he's one of these snake-handling pastors at the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name Church. This is in Kentucky. And during a recent sermon, Cody was handling a rattlesnake, and the rattlesnake bit his ear. And sure, blood poured down his face and onto his shirt, but Cody insisted on carrying on the sermon because, as he said, "God's a healer. I'm not worried." Lucky for him, his congregants, well, they don't have that same level of devotion because Cody started choking and slumping over on the floor. They took his dumb ass to the hospital. Now, we should point out that his father, he was the same kind of pastor and died 4 years ago when a rattlesnake bit him. But as they say, hindsight is 20/20. We all live and learn, at least we hope we do. And that brings us to today's question. Sometimes you instantly realize you've made a mistake. Other times, maybe years had to go by. We don't know. But today's question is this. Looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send the emails to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Home to Charles and away we go. Welcome to show number 2,887. What a large and charged program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat as here come the bad jokes. The drunk and charged Ryan Castle will be in to kick off the bad jokes right before we drink and toast with a shot of the day. Return of Ted versus the FCC coming up, and you think to yourself, boy, it sounds like that's something that I could pull off. Well, good news. If you download the Men's Room app, you can play you versus the FCC. Honest to God, there's probably a couple hundred in there.
I think so, yeah. Wobbin is, she's in the process of putting a bunch of, she's about halfway through all.
So if you're at the bar and you want to have a little fun, you can play you versus the FCC when you download the Men's Room app. Ted versus the FCC, a brand new one, is coming up. Steve and I, we were up probably 2:30, 3 o'clock last night coming up.
Easily.
With a great. And finally, we didn't have a listener submitted one, so we're actually going to use one of our own. I know you might be shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
But we wrote one, and we're gonna give it a whirl today in Ted versus the FCC. And our question, looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA. We'll start with this one. And it was a story that you brought up the other day, Steve. An unidentified guy in North Platte, Nebraska. He flipped his car early on Wednesday morning, and he fled the scene. He did have someone pick him up, and then he called 911 and said he didn't want to talk to the cops. He even threatened to attack them if they tried to find him. But they tracked him down anyway, and they pulled them over, and that's when the guy jumped out of the car, and he picked up a frog, and he tried to use the frog as a hostage.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
He wouldn't respond to commands and started throwing trash at a cop, so they had to tase him to get him into custody. Now, it's not clear what kind of charges he's facing, but they think drugs and alcohol probably are a factor.
Probably.
The good news is the frog was not hurt.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Not the brightest guy in the world.
I like that move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we actually, believe it or not, we were just talking about snake handlers the other day. We were talking about crazy crap, and I was describing that near my house when I grew up, the volunteer fire department would have a snake feed. They would have snake handlers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And many of these guys who would get the snakes were snake preachers, and they would come up, and they would basically bring up bags and bags of rattlesnakes because they were the ones out there getting them.
Right.
And that was kind of the competition. But this is the startling moment the story
chicken.
Says.
We cook chicken, barbecue chicken in my neighborhood.
Yeah, right. I mean, that would be a better
Boy Scouts,
idea.
Firehouse.
Yeah.
Well, rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm. Rattlesnake tastes like chicken. And yeah. Ted, I bet your chicken tastes like chicken.
Chicken did taste like chicken.
Yeah, that's convenient.
You know, like, at the time, it seemed normal to me. And that was the weirdest thing.
We did. We understand,
every
man.
Every year, it was just, I don't know why.
That's what people do,
right? I didn't go. It was just what people did. The startling moment, a controversial American pastor whose father was killed after being bitten by a snake is himself attacked by a serpent. Katie Coots is the pastor of the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus Name Church.
That rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
In Middlesboro, Kentucky. One of America's last remaining snake-handling churches. During his sermon, Pastor Coots can be seen handling a snake as he preaches to his congregation. Or as he preaches to his congregation.
There you go.
You see him holding the creature up in the air. It snaps its jaw at the preacher's ear, causing blood to splatter down his light blue shirt. Unconcerned, Pastor Coots continues his speech, telling the members attending the service to keep playing, and I'm not worried at all. God's a healer. I'm not worried. Yet it soon became apparent that Pastor Coots is becoming increasingly affected by the snake's bite.
I'm absolutely fine.
As blood is now rushing down his face. This is all on videotape. No matter how many times he wipes it away with a cloth, then he begins to choke and has to be carried out of the church by its members. He was taken to a hospital where doctors told him he could have been killed after the snake came close to severing the artery there by his neck. Yet he has now reportedly started to reevaluate his life in the wake of the incident. One of the men to take him to the hospital, named Big Cody.
Did you see the picture of Big Cody?
I did not.
Is he big?
Dude, they got it right. I'll put it that way. I saw a still of this guy. He is one of the largest people I've ever seen.
Most people bit in the face are dead in 5-10 minutes. I mean, his own dad got bit in the hand and within 7 minutes was dead. Pastor Coots' father, Jamie Coots, was only 42 and was handling a rattlesnake at the very same church during one of his sermons in 2014 when he was bitten on the hand and died. The son just picked up the torch, I guess. And the reason for why they do this is the belief of rattlesnakes and church and all that stems from a literal reading of Jesus's word in the Gospel of Mark. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues.
They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So that explains everything. Rolling around, speaking in tongues, holding snakes, the whole thing taken literally from that one paragraph.
Well, they should amend that and say, and in addition to that, we have doctors anyway.
Does anyone
just
wanna,
in case.
Does anyone want to guess what Pastor Coots's wife's name is?
All right.
This is very close to the area, by the way, that I was born. This is very close to the area where my mother and my grandmother.
Can I just say it has two names?
That's my guess. No, like Lily May.
You know, but they only give the first one. But yeah, I'm sure you're absolutely right. This is exactly who you think it is.
Is it like Tammy Ann?
It's Tammy.
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 She you says got the it. Church is Tammy the blood. You know, it started with a family and it's going down with her family. Me and Cody didn't talk about religion until we got married. All I said is, God, what did I get myself into? That's an awesome guy.
That's
quote.
That's her quote.
Yeah. Our, see, looking back, what did you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA.
Hey, look, man, I'll give Pastor Cody there at least after being bitten, right, and the blood running down his face, and he keeps going to his credit, my man kept plowing through, right, because he believes. And like I said, his congregation, a little brighter than he is, let's just say that, and said, yeah, keep believing. We're going to go take you to the doctor.
Yep.
I appreciate the fact that he is now reevaluating things. Because it wasn't enough that his father died doing the same thing. That wasn't a big enough trigger, Miles. No, he needed it to happen to him.
In the same place.
Yeah, in the same place.
And still not doing anything.
But at least
in knowing how much time it took for his father to pass.
Yeah, but he's gotten a little smarter. Hello, Phil. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Just want to say I've been listening to you guys since your first day on the Buzz.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, man.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
I stopped listening to us.
Yeah.
Well after that.
Mm-hmm. I miss most of those shows.
Well, I mean, there's nothing on at that time when I'm going home from work anyway. So
there you go.
He was the only girl at the bar. What did you want me to do?
Yeah, we were the 2:30 take home. I
right,
get it.
Exactly.
So anyway, in retrospect, I shouldn't have married my second ex-wife because the night I met her, she dosed me with Molly and didn't tell me.
Now, wait. When did you find out?
That's fun.
When did you find out that you were dosed? How long had you known her before you found out?
I had met her at a 4th of July party, and we started chatting. And she's like, hey, you should come at my house for the after party. I was like, okay. And I come into the kitchen, and she's pouring Jameson shots. And she's like, do you want a shot of Jameson? I was like, sure. I took the shot, and I was like, that was terrible. Why does Jameson taste like crap? She's like, oh, there's a gram of Molly in that. And I went, I've never done hard drugs in my life. Oh, well, let's see what happens.
Okay, what happened? How long did it take for it to kick in?
We dated for a year, then we got married.
No, back to that night. Back to the Molly. All right, so you take a shot, and then and how many people are at this party?
Eight?
Okay.
Nine.
And how long, is everyone doing this, or just you and her?
Everybody. I was the only one that was not informed that the entire purpose of going to her place for this was for the Molly.
Okay, and
it was an after party.
All right.
Well, I don't do drugs.
No. I'm just saying, if you're going to see people doing drugs, it's usually at the after party.
Okay. Yeah. So for sure.
Yeah, valid point. So we dated, and as we dated and then got married, you know, her partying turned into every 6 months to every 3 months to every month to every night. And I was like, hey, I know where this is going. Like, you need to check yourself into a rehab place. And she's like, go F yourself. I want a divorce. She lives under I-90 with the rest of the homeless folks. And I live in a nice, comfortable apartment.
What's the, what was the level of drug use that she was getting into?
I found out after the divorce that she was buying a lot of Percocets and Ritalin medications from people and hiding it from me. And I was like, where's all this money disappearing from?
Okay, all right. Yeah. So it was a pill game. What did you think of your experience on Molly that night? You must have liked it.
It was very interesting, and we may or may not have done it a couple more times just for science sake because I was curious.
Yeah. That's what it is. Just a little curiosity.
Yes. Okay.
So she's been in studio with you guys.
Oh, your ex-wife has.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I remember her. We were rolling on Molly.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Jamie.
She was one of the two nice ladies that waxed head.
All right. Okay, that's very well. You know, man, that was.
Well, I will say this in our brief interaction, she was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. So, do you still see her every once in a while?
She did call me because now I actually work in the as a counselor for at a methadone clinic, and she asked me. She called me and asked how to get into treatment.
Okay. Hey, man. Well, that's good, right? How long ago was that?
Oh, 3 months ago, and I was helping her get to appointments, and then she shut her phone off and went off on a bender, and I haven't heard from her since.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's what happens. Good for you for trying.
Yeah, that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately, but hey, you know. Yeah. It was fun at the beginning. It just got really weird at the end.
Yeah, I did not see that story going
on. Okay, let me ask you a question. What happened with your first wife?
My first wife didn't like the fact that I was in the Army, and...
Oh, so you just got married young.
Yeah, the first time I got married, I was 21 the first time. I did the second ex-wife. We got married when I was 35.
All right. Well, would you ever get married again?
Yeah, because I would like to actually like have a family and do like the American dream thing, but I'm kind of an a-hole at times, I guess, according to both my ex-wives. So,
well, if you ask anyone who's ever dated anyone,
everyone.
If you call them an ex-a-hole, is going to be part of it. Right? Won't you put X in front of your
name? Man, we're all asses to some degree, depending on what the situation is.
And you know
is,
who definitely thinks so? Your ex.
Right.
Somebody say, look, overall, nice guy, but
nobody's perfect all the time. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their moments. Everybody, you know, some people have bad days, man.
Why'd you break up with them? Because they were wonderful.
Right, exactly.
You've never heard that. Oh, dude,
nicest person in the world.
Broke up with this person. Well, we get along, and they were just too nice, and they certainly were not an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
She was never a bitch, and you're never an a-hole, right? Come on.
Perfect relationship.
Of course.
Looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so what I found to be a bad idea at the time is I went to this event called Paradiso, and I found out you really don't want to mix hard alcohol with horse tranquilizers at the same time.
Did you take ketamine?
Yes, I took ketamine, and I've never done it before. Every time I go to one of these events, I do a drug that I've never done.
Wait.
And it's really interesting.
You're trying to tell me, I would have to think that most people out there haven't enjoyed the wonderful experience of a horse tranquilizer, other than a horse who's going into surgery. You know?
It was pretty interesting, because
part of doing that is like people get stuck in like K-holes. Like, how were you still able to like function and drink while you were doing this?
I was able to function, but I repeatedly just kept falling down. Like, as hours went by, like walking became more and more difficult. And it got to the point where, like, one time I stopped, I just laid there for 15 minutes, and like I got stepped on twice. And they're like, dude, are you okay? I'm like, dude, I'm fine. Just leave me. I just need a rest for a minute.
Yeah, you're on a tranquilizer meant for a horse. Oh, I understand. You might get a little tired and want to chill out for a bit.
How long does this stuff last for, though? This experience, how long does it last?
I blacked out. Eventually, my friend found me, because I kind of remember, like, I found him and we were talking, and I kind of verified parts of the story later with him. But then I woke up, like, in the morning in someone else's tent. I didn't even know where I was. They didn't know who I was. I don't know. It was funny, though, because I told them, like, hey, man, I've never done ketamine before, and I got really drunk, and I tried it, and
I'm assuming you would never do this again, right?
I wouldn't say that, but maybe enough.
He would do it without alcohol. Okay. You listen to what he said at the beginning.
Okay.
He didn't say, I don't want to do ketamine. See. He said, don't mix ketamine and alcohol. Once you said that, I'm like, oh, he'll do it again. Yeah, he just won't mix.
Think about it. Okay, think about if they did it like, okay, this is the shot size that will get you drunk, which is a regular shot, and this is the size of the shot glass you would need for a horse to feel the effects of it, right?
I'd probably go horse.
Because a horse is, you know, maybe, what, how many pounds? 1,000 pounds?
I don't know. How much does a horse weigh?
I don't know.
Depends on the horse,
yeah.
Exactly.
So well, put on
Miles, he's not doing the dose to horse.
I know.
He would
know
be
that.
Dead.
Right, exactly. But still.
I had to lay down.
If it's meant for the horse...
Horse can weigh anywhere between 800 to 2,200 pounds.
Okay, 2,200 pounds.
I mean, honestly, it's big in Canada and Europe.
I think it's big everywhere, man. Yeah. We just don't hear about it as much because we have so many other options. I think that's kind of it. Like, I can get your hands on ketamine. Otherwise, we got everything you need.
I had a buddy that tried it, we'll just say in the desert. And the guy that gave him to him was like, you ever done this? And he's like, no. And he was like, where are you staying? And he was like, way over there on the other side. And he was like, you bike there now and like sit down.
He'd already done it.
Yeah, that's why when he said he was walking around drinking, like I've never done it. But every story I've heard is like, you need to sit down and just, you're going to lose out.
You know, but it's like anything, man. And I don't care if you're a kid or an adult. If you haven't done it, in spite of people's warnings, you just don't know why they're saying it until you experience it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done it. Hey, man, whatever you do, don't need all these mushroom caps. I'll be fine.
I just don't know.
Turns out I wasn't really fine. I got through it, but it's like, you know what? I'm a goddamn grown-ass man. He told me very clearly what I should not do, and I did it anyway. And yes, he was 100% correct.
I would still want to be able to function, though. Like, I would want to be able to take a drug where I could move around, do what I want to do.
Well, sure, but you don't know.
I know.
That's the whole thing.
They said, you just got to sit down and you're going to be in this hole for like 2 hours. Be like, no. I don't think I want to do that drug.
I don't know. I'd give it a try.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends where I am, man. I'd take it home. I wouldn't do it there if I want to walk around, but like, all right, this is what I take home, right? Put on some NFL football. Kids like Daddy O'Kirk. Dog is tripping.
Looking back.
Dog is a horse.
What time?
Where is Princess Caroline?
You have a dart in your neck.
I am BoJack Horseman.
I actually want a sugar cube.
Looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA.
I hate honeydew.
I don't know what it is. I gotta pee like a...
I will say this. You know what people get stuck? That other part of that story is I went by a group of people once, and they're just laying in these couches. And like me and my buddy are talking, and finally somebody goes... Everybody here is on camera. I was like, you know what? We're going to walk away. I'm sure we sound
too much
like,
energy.
Yeah, we must seem insane to you people right now.
The fact that someone has to say, hey, man, look, just so you know, they're on ketamine.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're annoying.
Right, basically.
Hello, Kurt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. So what did you think was a bad idea?
One thing that, while we're talking about ketamine.
Oh, boy. Everyone chiming in, though.
You guys remember how, getting your green card for marijuana was a big thing in Seattle?
Sure, yeah.
Of course, right? Just a couple years ago. Well, I decided, I'm going to go get my medical card. And so I went down to... see a doctor in Seattle, West Seattle, and after about an hour, I was able to walk out with it, decided to go get some weed, and they said, here, man, since it's your first purchase, here's a weed brownie, and I ate the whole thing.
How many milligrams was this bad boy?
I don't know, man, but here's the funny thing. I had to go see a guy because I wanted to move into an apartment. And when I was shaking his hand to leave, it had kicked in, and that's when I realized that I was in for some fun. And so for the next 3 hours, I wandered around the streets of Seattle, completely paranoid out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good time.
Looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line, more your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
OLA, bitches. You're listening to the Men's Room.
James Oliver, who's 24, he runs his own waste removal business, BVE Clearances, and he was cleaning out a house, clearing it out, and found a Second World War II weapon. As a laugh, he chucked it at his workmate, Connor Mayer, who caught it and threw it back. An enjoyable game of catch ensued. But it was only later they learned the grenade was in fact live.
Oh!
And a bomb disposal expert had to come and actually blow it up. He said he'd found many odd things while working, including guns, but he'd never seen a grenade before. He said, we didn't even think it was real. We were driving around with the damn thing all day. We threw it at each other many times. It was only when James showed the grenade to a friend who is an honorary police officer in the area, the alarm bells began to ring. I jokingly said to him, I think I might have a grenade in the van. He didn't think I was being real at first. So when he saw it, he put cones around the van and called the cops and the bomb disposal officer, which was a good thing. It was a bit of a shock when I realized, hey, this thing is real. The bomb disposal officer said he had done the right thing to call, but said taking it on an island tour was not a great idea.
Do they have a picture of this?
Of the hand grenade they sure do.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a hand grenade.
It is a hand grenade.
It looks like a hand grenade.
It's a pineapple grenade.
That's the,
why would...
Yeah, it is.
So wait, what did he think it was?
Bomb disposal officer Stuart Elliott, who was
Stuart's
the expert, he was dispatched to the scene. He said it was on the front seat of the van. It was in great condition. I got it taped up to make it secure. I removed it to another location, put a small charge on it, and blew it up. James has since been in touch with the owners of the house to inform them about what they had discovered in there. Our question, looking back, what do you realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA.
It's not just that he didn't recognize the hand grenade was a hand grenade, but when he threw it to his friend, His friend looked at it, also didn't recognize that this is clearly a live handgrenade, and threw it back.
Playing a game catch with it.
Good. Yeah, I mean, right. When you look up, like, it's the exact grenade you think that you see in movies and everything else.
Whatever you're picturing, that is exactly what it looks like. God damn. Ah, hello, Jareth. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. That's Jareth.
So, what did you think was a bad idea looking back there?
So, bad idea would be smoking a found joint.
Oh, a found joint.
Where did you find the joint?
So, at the time I was working at a KFC, close enough shop, doing all the cleanup, and it was about half smoked there on one of the tables. Picked it up, looked like weed, smelled like weed. I'm not exactly a stranger to weed, so I'm like, all right, I'll take this home, and this will be something for later. You know,
Tell me when you go home, you get like a box of chicken to take with you or something. Like, you're setting yourself up for this moment. Maybe you got a little small side of mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, you are prepared, right?
A couple of those lava cakes, all of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good. Awesome. I'm just glad to know you can do that. That sounds great.
Yeah,
it really does.
So. Took it home. I'm like, you know what? Too much effort. I don't want to fill a fresh bowl. Too much effort to rip this up. So I'm just going to smoke it as is. I lit it up, and not 10 minutes later, I am having the worst trip of my life. I have no idea what's in it. What was in it? I have no plans to ever find out what was in it.
Did it taste like weed? Do you think it was? In other words, do you think it was laced with something like PCP? Do you think that you were smoking K2 or a spice or something?
I don't know. It was primarily weed.
So, it was primarily weed, but when did you realize it was not all weed? What was it about your trip where you said, okay, there's something in me that's not weed?
When up became left.
Oh, okay.
All right, okay.
How long did it last?
About 2 hours. And here's the thing. Like I said, it took 10 minutes for this to hit. So in that time, I had smoked the whole rest of this joint.
Here's the thing that's screwed up about that, okay? I know a guy who's been in a very similar situation, who maybe did something that time as well, in a different set of circumstances.
And his name is probably Miles.
He probably looks a lot like me. But the thing is, when you're done, you really don't know what you've done.
Right.
Like, and if you don't, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm assuming you don't know what you did either. So you just don't know, right?
I know that when I started, I was on the couch. And somehow, 2 hours later, I was on my bed. Well, okay. I was on the other side of the house. My legs were on the bed. My back is on the floor. And I'm wondering what just happened.
Okay.
All right.
And you didn't eat the lava cakes, I'm assuming.
Apparently, I ate one of them.
All right, okay. Well,
okay. You know what? Right. It's probably the lava cakes. Probably had a bad lava cake.
I was thinking, like, man, don't waste the lava cakes.
Crying out loud. That's a weird one.
What do you think you smoked, though? I know you said want to know. What do you think you smoked? Like,
I don't know.
I was thinking what you were thinking, Ted. Salvia?
No. I was thinking what Miles was. He was doing a dipper.
Oh, well.
That's the way he put PCP in his...
Back in the day, people used to dip joints into embalming fluid.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. For a long time.
That's
a,
yeah.
I didn't know he liked to get wet.
Man, oh, man, oh, man.
I like that it was on the table at KFC.
Looking back, what did he realize was a bad idea? 844-999-OLA.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.